Welcome to Champagne Sunday. I'm Lauren.
Hey, I'm Bonnie.
I'm Beth.
And we're going to talk about life
after divorce.
And living
the best life.
Best life and the life you love.
Yes, living the life you love on that other side.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers. Welcome.
Okay, ladies, so today we're asking ourselves, how do you figure out what you want?
Like out of life in general?
I think we could talk about it on any level.
Okay. So I'm actually struggling with that right now as the basically empty nest person and had a career switch a couple of years ago within education. I'm just not really, I've always worked towards something, you know? So especially when it was a coping mechanism with the divorce and all, or an alcoholism. So it was work towards getting a job in education, work towards getting a divorce, work to get a house, work to get the house set up, work to get this new job. Ex-husband passes away, work to get the estate settled and get all of that taken care of, work to get my daughter in school, all of this. And now all of a sudden, all of the things that I had set up or had come up are worked through and I don't have a next step. I don't have a, okay, this is where I, you know, I've thought about, do I want to push my career further? Do I want to do more with the art? All of these things that I haven't figured out what that big want is and decided to really go for it because I haven't defined it. And it's hard to figure out how to figure out what it is, especially when all of, you know, we all had this whole dream before of this is what things would look like. You know, well, and now it's different.
I mean, when you start, a lot of our life goals are often associated with employment or family.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Often.
Yeah.
Well, the three of us sitting in this room have achieved
and
a
education.
Lot of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Education.
Yeah. Yeah.
Knowledge. So when you have sort of your big boxes checked, it's hard to sit in them.
Well, I feel like I need another
big box. Yeah. Well, I was feeling really uneasy. A month ago or so, like stir crazy, like I needed a next thing. And so I have just this week started teaching some voice piano lessons and that has kind of like lit a new fire. So sometimes for me, what I want, like I have a lot of what I want and it's figuring out what to add to that or like, do you know what I'm saying? Like,
or how to maximize it.
How to maximize it.
Yeah. How to be really happy. I think part of it also is, and I've talked about this in our little pregame. I struggle sitting in the happiness and peace sometimes because life was so chaotic for so long. Every once in a while, it spins back around and I'm like, okay, this is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just because I don't have, it's good.
I've gotten to the point that when something chaotic happens, I'm like I was at work and somebody yelled the other day and it was very unexpected. And I was like, oh.
Well, see, now I don't want the negative chaos. I would take positive chaos.
No.
Or happy chaos.
Yeah. Well, that's just fun. You're just saying fun.
Yeah, just fun. Just fun. Like, yeah.
I think all this, you know, we hit on a little bit of this before, but, or maybe we pre-gamed it. Like, anyway, I think you're right. When you're young, you try to get your education. You just kind of move through life with these expected steps. Sort of like when you have a kid, you wait for them to turn their head. You wait for them to smile. You wait for them to be able to sit up and then crawl and then walk. And there are developmental stages that you go through. And you do that as an adult too, I think. And, you know, now my thing is I just want to keep learning new and different things to kind of keep myself interesting for me,
yeah,
but also for maybe a possible person down the, you know, I just want to be an interesting human. I want to do things like that. But I also think you can get stuck in it, but I don't know that I want to use that word stuck because now, I mean, I have been what I labeled as stuck in the past, but I think with everything, it's sort of a cyclical thing. And sometimes you use all your energy to, like I did, paint my house and get my house arranged how I wanted it. And then I had a natural downtime where I didn't have the energy to do that. And I was kind of resting and recharging. And maybe that's where you are. I don't know. And then those times kind of seem still, quiet, boring, whatever you want to say. And then you do something new, you learn something new, you go to a class, you read a new book, you join a different group, you meet a new person, and then you kind of get back on the uptick of things, mm-hmm. of learning something, and I like to master different tasks or, you know, those kind of things. And I think that's kind of what keeps you rolling. Pre-game, when we talked about doing a personality test, doing all those kind of things to kind of see where, and I think those kind of help you sift out what you want to do and how you want to see things, or maybe how you don't want to see things anymore and how you want to kind of explore that other kind of personality. Pre-gaming, I was doing another test because I can never remember what I am. Anyway, and so I was thinking, I kind of am rigid because when you take, I'm good at taking tests. That's kind of one of my things. So you can kind of see the pattern. I can kind of see the pattern of the test. They ask you the same question in a different way sometimes just to see if the first time you like the wording and that's how you see yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, I am very helpful to people. Well, as a nurse, I'm like, hell yeah, and I'm pushing that all the way up at number 5, accurate. Then they ask it again in a different way, and you're like, wait a minute. Was I really just tooting my horn? Am I really that helpful? Or do I just want to be helpful? Or am I intrusively helpful? Like when Bonnie and I walk in the park and I'm like, yeah, that guy's had a hip problem. Look at his gait. He pronates.
She nurses everybody. She's that scanner with the comedian who's like scanning men. Have you seen that?
Is he balding? Yes. Is it in a good way?
So she does that to everybody. She's like,
but that's not necessarily a good thing. I mean, it's a good thing if you're in distress, if I'm there, but if you're not, then I'm like, yeah, I think you know. That guy is carrying 40 pounds of extra weight on his belly. Like I described that guy. He's got the hard, round heart attack belly. Like, Bonnie just looked at me and I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. But when you take those tests, sometimes you see that how you see yourself, your mm-hmm. perception of yourself is a little skewed.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Sometimes that's in a bad way. Sometimes it's a good way in that you can create or correct. You can push yourself in a different direction or learn something different or learn something about yourself. Because sometimes I think, and this is just me, when I went through the divorce, I had so many negative feelings about myself. Some of it was that little voice in the back of my head. Some of it was the voice from my ex-husband saying, you're just a nurse, blah, you know. You've gained weight, you've let yourself go, blah, blah, blah. Why can't you do this? Why can't you do, you know, that kind of stuff. And then there's that little voice in my head that's the perfectionist, like, you didn't do that to the best of your ability. Mm-hmm. You know, those kind of things. And I think you get, divorce is a negative experience, even if it's needed, it's negative. And sometimes what I tended to believe all the negative stuff. And so when I started reading and started kind of figuring out who I am and what I want and where I want to kind of settle out and the kind of person that I want to actually be when I grow up, sometimes you realize how rigid you are in certain areas and how lax you are in other areas and how it would be really nice if you could find a little happy medium in there.
We did a couple weeks ago at work. I can't remember if I talked about this now that we're talking about personality. So that, I guess this makes sense in terms of like what makes you, especially what makes you happy in life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and when you're looking for what makes you happy.
We did the monkey, lion, turtle. Uh-huh. What's the other one?
Camel
thing. And what's funny is I'm the oldest sibling, but I'm a monkey, like very much a monkey. She was like, you're an enigma. That never happens. Usually oldest are leading lions, but the youngest of my siblings is the lion for sure. But we did things that we know, like we met in little groups. So like all the monkeys wrote down things we know about ourselves, but then other groups wrote down the way they perceive people. So like people can perceive monkeys as like irresponsible or loud or, you know, flaky, when really it's not really that, it's just personality. And sometimes it's hard for our brains to, you know, to do X, Y, Z. So it's interesting. But you may know that about yourself too, you know. Yeah. So
it's funny. I think my little sister is a lion.
Yeah.
And I'm a monkey. I mean, not monkey. I'm so not a monkey. I think I'm a turtle camel or camel turtle, whichever way you go that way. Beth, you're a lion.
You're a lion.
I am not.
I would venture to say you have high monkey. But y'all, I tested out of 20, I had a monkey 16. And the rest of the ones.
There you go. I need to redo those. I haven't done a lot of those tests in a long time.
But what it told me about myself and what it tells the people I work with is that the thing that's most important to me is fun and people. I'm very, very people oriented. So if I can have fun and people are involved, I'm happy. So yeah, and I do that a lot in life. Well, I'm very social.
And work. So we did one at the school system. It's been ages ago now, Emergenetics or whatever it is. And I am yellow for the most part. I am yellow and green, but for the most part, I'm yellow, which is the big idea concept person. But, you know, so somebody I work with, she's always like, your yellow is showing. Like, I know. Sorry. Because I know that she is majority green. You know what I mean? But that's what makes, when you know that about people, you know who to go to for their strengths.
Right.
And things like that. And it also showed me where my weaknesses were.
Yeah.
Okay, so I am yellow. I need to work a little harder on building some green to be, you know what I mean? Just to sort of help round myself out. Mm-hmm. But doing these personality tests for me, especially when I'm trying to look for what it is, what my next big thing to work towards is to remind me of kind of who I am and how I fit into different places. And it's just kind of a good refresher to make myself a real person to myself
and
again.
It helps remind you what is important to you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
There are things that aren't as important to me. Like, I hate paperwork. I hate it. It is frustrating. And it just isn't that important, but it's important for other people. So I have to do it, you know? But,
yeah.
So anyway, but yeah.
I think on that note too, knowing yourself and knowing your strengths and also being acutely aware of your weaknesses kind of helps you sift through the divorce stuff. I mean, if you're a person that's never really thought, who am I? What do I actually like? I would think that this process would be really hard for a person going through. I knew myself pretty well. I lost myself for a while, just in all the chaos of, you know, personality disorder and addiction and all this other stuff that was also shaking down
with your ex-husband.
With my ex-husband.
Well, and as a parent, and you lose yourself a little bit anyway because you have to give so much of yourself to your kids.
You do. But if you know yourself and you can get back to thinking of how you like things and what is really important to you,
mm-hmm.
you know, I think it helps in the process. Moving you, propelling you forward.
Mm-hmm.
If you can put something out there that you really like to do, like, okay, for all of us, we're really busy, but the thing that we all three have in common is we like to go and do things. We like food and we like music. So we have done a little bit of all that for both of us. And I mean, for all of us. And when we do that as a group, it strengthens our friendship. It also, though, feeds us personally.
Mm-hmm.
And it's something that we wouldn't do probably just by ourselves. I mean, I have eaten by myself before, but in it for a long time. But when you do it as a group and you find a group that kind of feeds you in a different way that a different group feeds you,
yeah.
You know, I think it also helps you grow as a person and it kind of strengthens your resolve and kind of helps propel you into the next thing if you're having a lull time or a difficult time or I feel stuck time. If you can find those things and remember those things and kind of keep your eyes on that, this is what really makes me happy. Sometimes we all have to do those things that don't make us happy, but if we have time to do the things that do.
Yeah.
And I think too, like we're all kind of at a point in our lives that we know there are certain things that we're never going to be. Like I'm never going to be a millionaire. I'm not. That's not going to happen for me. I'm going to enjoy a middle-class lifestyle, right? What that's helped me do is quit keeping up with the Joneses a little bit. And so instead of thinking, well, I have to have this perfectly done and this perfectly done. No, I just try to keep it simple. It has made me so much happier, you know, or just, right. There are some things that at some point you go, okay, this is in the not category. So yeah. what is in the possible category that I still want to achieve?
I think I've reached the age. Mm-hmm. It's funny. I think of it in terms of books. When I now look at a book about whether I want to read it or not, it's like, I only have X amount of books left in my life. Is this one worth my time?
Yeah.
Like I am now down to, it's selective. Like when I was younger, I'll read everything. I can't quit reading it because I'm not to the end. And now I'm like, nope, there's only so much time. And I've just now started reading again. Mm-hmm. I'm going to spend the time on books I'm interested in. So it's kind of like that about life. So there are some things I know that I might have thought I might could have a spinoff career and do later.
Like
I'm not going to do that.
I'm not ever going to play the guitar. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to learn to play the piano any better than
my little chord.
But I do play the piano, and what I can do is get better at that. You know?
Or right.
Sometimes it's just about strengthening the things that you do, mm-hmm. like going deeper with the things that you already do well, achieving a higher level. Didn't you say how many minutes a day does it take to be better than 98% of it? 18 minutes.
Yeah. You have kind of niched down a little bit in your stitching. Even though you love to paint, do all of those things, mm-hmm. you spend the majority of your time there. I have chosen painting and acrylics and all that over all of the other art. Like I used to do pen and ink. And I used to draw, loved colored pencil, watercolor, and even sculpting a little bit ages ago. All of those things, I can still do those and enjoy them, but I have spent more of my time on painting. You know, I don't sew anymore. I used to sew a ton for the kids and design little things for them. I haven't done that. I used to make clothes for myself. I haven't done that. I am now just painting. Like at this age, when I was younger, I tried everything. And at this age, it seems like I have picked something and I'm kind of moving with it. So still, to find out what you want. I know that there's other tests and like quizzes and things out there. One of them I took at one point walked me through how to define what it is that I believe in my life. What are they called? Yeah, your belief system.
Epistemology.
Yeah, whatever. Like, what are the things that are your
word?
No,
what is this site? I was on this site. I know what you're talking. Your tenants.
Yeah, it's just like the things that you like. What is it like? Family is important. That is one of mine. Like. Yeah, every once in a while when something comes up, if it's something not necessarily loving, I'm like, okay, does this fit in my grand scheme of things that I really want to live as one of my, my tried and true? Family is important. Education is important. Like those kinds of things. Like what are those kinds of things? Being creative every day is important to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, faith is important to me. Those kinds of things.
The tenets of your life.
Yes, the things that are most important to you. Can you define those? Like, what are your top 10 things that the way you frame your life? You know, so, but some people, especially going through divorce and all, if you haven't sat down and done that and just sort of, okay, let's define the things about my life, the things that I believe in, the things I believe most and want to frame my life around. You know, you're not going to go rob a store if faith and family and all of these things are at the top of, or your things that you love are about you, because that wouldn't fit
right.
Yeah.
into your, the tenets of your life. Can I say that?
That's true.
So I think that kind of thing would help, but.
I don't know. I like daily, my daily wants are different from a long-term wants, I think. But I've tried to spend a lot of time not futurizing anymore.
Yeah, see, and I guess, and that's what I'm struggling with.
I used to get very hung up on figuring out what's going to happen a year from now, or what's going to happen. And I just don't anymore. I very rarely do anything. I plan shows so that I know dates, and I have planned the vacations that I'm having through August so that I know that. But I don't know, in terms of like.
But you do have goals for after you retire.
Yeah, but they're very vague.
Right.
It's nothing is.
But if something came up that would fit kind of moving you toward that goal or help you with those goals, you would go for it. Right.
Right.
I mean, so that's kind of what like I need to define with that goal. You have a plan or a goal, even though it's vague. And yeah. I need to figure out what that is.
I would like to do. Like when I'm retired, I would like to do some more professional theater, maybe dip my toe into some film stuff, and because they need middle aged women in film and TV is what my friend told me. There's a shortage. And now I'm here.
Well, because all the young ones as they age have had plastic surgery.
Yes, that's true. So they're still playing ingenues. And then I just want to go as many places as possible. And that's pretty much it. I don't have any other, like, that's what I'd like to do. And so if any of those things present themselves in whatever way they do, that will just make me happier, even more happy.
See, Ness, so, I feel like if art is what I want, I need to define what being a successful artist is. And then I need to start taking steps towards that. I don't have to define when it happens, but I need to have something to move forward to. Is that what it's going to be? Or am I going to push further into education and learn more about that and go in that? Or am I just going to sit here and love where I am and not worry about it? Like, I struggle.
Yeah.
So, but I think a lot of people do. You know, I think this is a part of being an empty nest person in this place. This is when I was supposed to have a partner and we were supposed to travel and we were supposed to do things together and all of that. And I don't have that. And so.
Well, some of that too is still. So there's what I just heard this on a podcast too. There's me and my podcast lately. There's three phases of life. It's your learner phase, your earner phase, and then it's like your teacher phase. After. So we're all still in the earner phase, you know?
Yeah.
So
I feel like I've already done part learner, part teacher, but I would like to be a learner again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think I'm a lifelong learner. I don't think I'm ever going to get out of that stage.
It's hard for
us because we're already teachers.
What did he say? It's like
being a mentor.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. That's what I mean.
I feel like I've already done that. I feel like I'm so old I have all these t-shirts. But I did. Here's the comforting news. I just read something that just popped up on my social media that said, if you had a baby over the age of 40.
Did you send that to me or was it my brother?
It might have been. It increases your possibility of living to 100.
Yes.
I was like, hot damn. I know that's my time to learn a lot more things.
Beth, it was my mother that sent it to me. Y'all think so, Karen?
How funny.
So, yeah. So now that kind of made me feel like, wow, I got a lot more time to put bucket list things on my list.
My thing, I have so many interests in my life right now. It's hard to decide which one to pay attention to at a time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So luckily, I kind of have the kind of life where I get to do, I do my passion for a living.
Right. And that's lucky.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
I do that. So that makes my downtime look a little different, you know, or what my other wants are, because I'm already doing the thing that fulfills me the most, I guess. I do it every day. So,
See, that's great. But I think having a lot of interests is good.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep you getting out and being social. You know what I mean? I understand in this area of life how people could isolate and distance themselves from everybody and all of that. But
especially after COVID, it definitely, like the way we socialize changed a lot for how much.
Right. So I think having a lot of interests and trying them all out keeps you active and socializing and finding, maybe even accidentally finding what your future goal is,
mm-hmm.
what you want to be when you grow up. I think I'll be answering that question until I'm 110. I don't know what I want to be when I grow up.
I will be answering that question when I'm 102.
Yes, I'm refusing to grow up. So
same.
That's good.
I think I've grown up. Now I'm going to revert back to childhood.
Being a grown up is fun. I don't like to adult. I saw one of those memes or whatever that said, y'all always told me that when I was grown up, I could do whatever I want. And that is not true. I can do whatever I can afford. And it's not the same thing.
It isn't.
It's so true.
I saw one that said, My childhood punishments are now my adult goals.
Yeah.
Taking a nap.
Go to your room. Go to your
room. Vegetables.
Yeah. Give me your phone. Yeah. Please take my phone. Yeah.
Take it. Take it to your room for the night.
Okay. Exactly.
All right. So I think, I was going to say something about us. You know, when you find your tribe, one of the reasons I love spending time with you ladies is that you're also creative.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have a passion or an interest, if you find people who push you towards those goals, y'all inspire me to be creative when I'm around y'all. So that's, I think that's important, is that you're spend time around people, be very choosy about the people that you're around and make sure that they're people that push you in one way or the other.
Yeah.
Are they, you know what I mean? I have friends in all different places, but for the most part, my friends are they work, they're workaholics, or they really have a high work ethic, and they're good friends and family people and all of that. So I think that is important. Even when you're trying to look for what you want to do, you can look through your friend group. What are the people that you love to spend time with? What is it that they do?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Surrounding yourself with positive energy is important too.
I think that's like a whole nother thing
like,
too.
Then. Yeah. That's like you were talking about feeling stagnant.
Yeah.
Like sometimes I'll wake up and I'll feel like I don't have anything to do today. What am I going to be? You know, and it's a rare day. But, and sometimes even just like putting on a new album or like listening mm-hmm. to something, I'm listening to a new podcast or like that will change my entire.
Oh, yeah. My daughter introduced me to the woman's
Chapel Roan.
Yeah, Chapel Roan. And I'm like obsessed. I love it. So upbeat, different. It has really sort of filled a nice little musical hole I didn't know I had.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
So, well, all right, ladies, what are y'all going to do this week to live the life that you love?
I have auditions for Sweeney Todd.
That's going to be so fun.
Which is what I'm directing this summer. And I have been in that show twice, but have never directed it. So I'm very, very excited to work on that. And then my college is closing and there's a final concert for my choral professor on Sunday. So I'll go down there, which means I'll probably get to see a lot of old friends. That'll be fun.
That'll be fun. That will be positive out of them.
Yeah, you'll get to see people you haven't seen in ages, I bet.
That'd be good. Well, I am going back to the town I lived in for 20 years, and
you're taking me.
Taking Bonnie to Mule Day in Columbia, Tennessee. If y'all don't know, Columbia, Tennessee is the mule capital of the world.
Did not know there was such a thing.
No. Almost any mule that you would find has come from Columbia, Tennessee. So
they're still mule rich?
Oh, yes, they are. And there's all, it says it's Mule Day, but there have been festivities for the whole week. It actually is a week. They have a liars contest, a beauty pageant. Of course, there's Miss Mule Day and the Mule Day Queen. And then there's like all kinds of, it's like the best parade. James K. Polk, your 11th president, my dead boyfriend, at his home. They have bloodies and biscuits, so you can go early before the parade at 9, and you can have Bloody Marys and homemade biscuits with that good ham, and you can have jelly. If you have children, it's a great little environment. They can have, you know, orange juice or whatever and a biscuit before the parade, so you just go and watch the parade. Then everybody has private parties, and it's a big party. It's like being in college and going from yard party to yard party. It is so much fun. Everybody in the town shows up. There are vendors, funnel cakes, all that kind of food, everything. And it's just a fun.
Well, good. I'm looking forward to it. So that would be my fun.
Yeehaw.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that, and my sister's in town, so I get to see her something.
That would be good.
Yay. All right. Well, thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good weekend. Thank y'all for joining us for Champagne Sunday.
See you next week, girls.
See you next week. Yeah, cheers.
Have a good week.
Cheers.
Yeah. Cheers.